And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 11th of November, 2013, Veterans Day, honoring Americans who served in the armed forces. Originally called Armistice Day because it was on this date, 1918, the Allies and Germany signed an armistice agreement to end World War I. By late summer 1918, the war had become unpopular in Germany. In early October, the Chancellor Max von Baden sent a telegraph to Woodrow Wilson requesting a ceasefire, and Wilson said he wouldn't negotiate while Kaiser Wilhelm remained in power. So Wilhelm abdicated, fled the country on November 10th, and the new civilian government quickly said they would sign an armistice on whatever terms the Allies put forward. Essentially, it gutted the German military of its supplies. Germany had to agree to accept all the blame, pay all the reparations for the war, which German leaders viewed as extremely punitive, but they were in no position to do anything but agree to the terms. It was signed, the armistice, outside Paris, 6 o'clock in the morning in a railway carriage, took effect 5 hours later at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. It's the birthday of the comedian Jonathan Winters, born in Bellbrook, Ohio, 1925. Dropped out of high school, joined the Marines, came home, studied cartooning, won a talent contest doing impressions of movie stars, got a job as a morning DJ, making up fake personalities and interviewing himself on the radio. Went to New York, tried to make it as a stand-up comedian, and instead of doing impressions of celebrities, which other comedians did, he created his own characters, starting with an old woman named Maud Fricker, based on an aunt back in Ohio who had taught him to play poker and drink wine when he was 9 years old, and Elwood P. Suggins, who used to be fire chief until they realized that he was the one who was setting all the fires. Jonathan Winters, who said, "I couldn't wait for success, so I went ahead without it." It's the birthday of Kurt Vonnegut, born in Indianapolis, 1922, author of Slaughterhouse-Five, Cat's Cradle, Breakfast of Champions, Time Quake, and many other books. He was the youngest child in the family, always desperate to get some attention, so he worked hard to be funny. He later said, "That's what my books are now that I'm a grown-up, mosaics of jokes." He said, "All the great storylines are great practical jokes that people fall for over and over again." And it's the birthday of Fyodor Dostoevsky, born in Moscow, 1821, whose career as a writer was launched when he was arrested, blindfolded, brought before a firing squad, and then was pardoned at the last minute and not shot. Here's a poem for today by Lewis Jenkins, entitled "The Big Bang." When the morning comes that you don't wake up, what remains of your life goes on as some kind of electromagnetic energy. There's a slight chance you might appear on someone's screen as a dot. Face it, you are a blip or a ping, part of the background noise, the residue of the Big Bang. You remember the Big Bang, don't you? You were about 26 years old, driving a brand new red and white Chevy convertible, with a beautiful blonde girl at your side. Charlene was her name. You had a case of beer on ice in the back, cruising down Highway Number 7 on a summer afternoon, and then you parked near Loon Lake just as the moon began to rise. Way back then, you said to yourself, "Boy, it doesn't get any better than this." And you were right. The Big Bang, a poem by Lewis Jenkins, from Tin Flag, New and Selected Prose Poems, published by Will-o'-the-Wisp Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by PBS, presenting a new presidential portrait from American Experience. JFK premieres tonight at 9, 8 Central, on PBS. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.